I think you can hear me. All right. I have a couple announcements before Dr. Dave starts his meeting. So our next meeting will be next month on Thursday. It is with Peter Green. You may know him from Scrum Day 2016. I think he spoke there. His talk is called Coaching in the Context of Your Culture. Another announcement, Gary Moore wanted me to share that the Global Scrum Gathering San Diego is April 10th through 12th, 2017. Early bird pricing is going on right now. All right, so we are at episode 24, listening to Dr. Dave Cornelius on KnollShare, hosted by GrokShare.com. You can also find this on iTunes and Google Play. Dr. Dave Cornelius has a book out, you can find it on Amazon, called Transforming Your Leadership Character, The Lean Thinking and Agility Way. His talk today is some of the content from that book. You can see more on his website, like webinars and meetups. And you can also get his game, Agility Leader Shift, on Amazon. Here you go.
Good. Thank you. Woo! Perfect. And I just want to let you guys know that if you have any questions, so that you are heard, grab the mic. Don't drop the mic, but grab the mic. You gonna stay there? You good? Okay. So, you know, a wonderful chat tonight is about, you know, transforming your leadership character, making it happen with lean thinking and agility. And so I just wanted to give you a little bit about who I am. Currently, I work as a value delivery leader at Bio-Rad Laboratories. I'm a founder of this group called Five Saturdays, and Five Saturdays is where we teach high school kids agile and software development concepts in the summer. I produce a podcast called KnollShare with Dr. Dave on iTunes and Google Play, and it's also on GrokShare.com. And I also do a monthly webinar with Project Insight and basically cover a wide range of different topics that's really relevant to agility. A little bit about my history. I started out as a developer. I've been an architect, been a project manager, a product manager, also done Six Sigma Black Belt. I'm also a Six Sigma Black Belt, have several million dollars of saving and process improvements. I'm a business owner. I'm also a leader and an agile coach. So just a little bit about my background and what I've done and where I've been. Our topics today really will cover things like emergent leadership transformation, what that is. You know, what business leaders want out of leaders. I think those things are critical. We talk about lean thinking and agility tenets. These things I think that we should guide the way we do business, you know, even the way we conduct our lives. I think that's really critical for us and very important. And also leadership dispositions. There's three that I talk about in the book, but I'm only going to talk about one today, the most important one, I think. And finally, I did a little spoof on Plan, Do, Check, Act. And it's called Plan, Do, Inspect, Adapt. And also, we're going to play the Agility Leader Shift game tonight, if you guys don't mind indulging me in that. I think that should be fun. You know, I always have a good time, you know, when we play that game in terms of people learning more about themselves, right, and sharing knowledge. So it's good stuff. What I want you to get out of this today, I want you to, like, really pursue your goals to transform, you know, your own leadership character, because that's what it's all about, right? And so if we leverage lean thinking and agility, that will get us there, in my opinion, and my experience for myself personally. When you think about leadership, you know, I grabbed a few interesting quotes from a few people, like James Hunter. He said, leadership is influence. And I really think that's really the job of a leader, is to influence people to move forward and get things done and to improve themselves as they choose to. One of our former presidents, Ronald Reagan, he says, the greatest leader is the one who gets the people to do the greatest things. And if you could motivate people and at least create an opportunity and a space for them to be the very best, I see that as a great opportunity as well as a leader. Then John Maxwell, he says, leadership is also to add value to others, and one must first value others. So it's not just a natural thing for us to be leaders, that we have to have some ability to value who people are. Obviously, I'm a big wonker, so I'm going to write this big thing as an agile practitioner, and I'll say leadership is creating a psychologically safe space that allow people to self-organize and become emergent leaders while delivering value for customers and your organization. I guess you could grab snippets out of that big statement and say, this is what leadership is. Perhaps you have something that you have in mind. Do you guys agree with some of these, this context or some of the statements that are made here for about leadership? I mean, and if so, do you have any other thoughts about what leadership is? Anyone want to chime in? A bashful bunch.
But there's one about that the leaders kind of naturally emerge. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily the people who are in the leadership role. It's like the leaders of the organization are the people who are naturally lead and probably influence, I guess.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
So, I don't know. I don't know that leadership always involves a psychologically safe place. Sometimes people have to step out of their comfort zone to do something. In this culture, one of my favorites is lead, follow, or get out of the way.
I think that's pretty fun to think about that. But yeah, I think all of those things are wonderful, you know, ideas. Did you have something that you'd like to share? But yeah, huh?
I like them.
You like them, awesome. But additionally, what was your name again?
Stan.
So Stan, I do agree with you in terms of leaders becoming emergent leaders. That was a great observation that you brought up, because that's one of the key things that I think about that leaders are, that we all, that at times we emerge. When we get an opportunity, we should take advantage of that and really step in to add value to our organization, to ourselves, to our community. You know, what's one of those things that's really pervasive in the agile cultures is something that a lot of people are talking about now. People are observing that this is a critical attribute to have. But also organizations, they're looking for emergent leaders. They're not always looking for assigned leaders. I was thinking about that as I was driving down here from Costa Mesa, and I said, like, what has been my leadership or my emergent leadership experience? And I was thinking about the second job that I had when I came out of college. Software developer, living in Chicago, was working at the University of Chicago at the time. I had a boss, and we had this great opportunity to, we would take this big set of data coming in from a mainframe, and we'd take that data set and change it into a special document format. Back then, you didn't have any great software to do that. You didn't have any great word processors that was capable of doing that. During my first job, I wrote this software that was able to do this transformation of similar data, you know, big data set, and transforming it into a special format that we could use for printing a document. Well, I went into my boss and I said, you know what? I see there is this opportunity. Can I write a program to do this? He goes, really? You know, you're going to spend all of this time writing a program? And I said, look, I did this before. This was very successful in my previous job. It really saved us lots of hours. So I went off and he said, you know, go ahead and try it. So I tried it for a while. I spent weeks and weekends and late nights working on this program. And I got it to where it was about 80% done. And that last 20% almost killed me. You know, the last day before it was due, I stayed up all night. You know, everyone came in the next day. Did you go home last night? And I'm going like, no. You know, are you going to go home sometime soon? No, I'm 90% done. I have this last 10%. Well, I didn't get the other 10% done. I was too tired. But the reality is that I saw an opportunity. I went after it. And even though I did fail, in my opinion, you know, it was still a sign of leadership, of really stepping into an opportunity that was presented to me. I think that's the same thing as we're working on agile projects, that we should seek those opportunities and pursue them, take them, you know, when they're there. Help the teams and help other team members, especially if you have younger people on your teams. You know, you could pair with those individuals and help those individuals to get better. So that's just, you know, one story that I could share of my experience through emergent leadership. I think that also to become an emergent leader, this transformation, which is critical. So I look at Merriam-Webster's, their definition, and it says a major change someone's or something's appearance or form. To lead a transformation, I believe that we personally must experience a transformation in the way we think, in the way we behave, the way we perceive others, how we observe, the way we communicate, I think that's really critical in terms of us helping other people along the way, influencing their path, creating a space for them to be the very best that they can be. When I think about leadership transformation, we need to look at how do we improve professionally, personally, and communally. I'm a big community type guy. I, you know, give my time wherever it's needed, especially in the Agile space. I mean, I invest a lot of time doing that, and I know that you guys do the same by coming out here tonight as well. In order to get there, having a team of trusted advisors certainly help you on that path. It helps you to get there a little easier. And the most important thing, support and feedback, right? And so we're learning along the way by having a set of trusted advisors to help us to move forward. I believe in lean thinking and agility. It has worked great in my personal life. I've seen it as I'm teaching high school kids how to go about working through their stuff in life, how they go about doing schoolwork. I believe these things really are helpful, and I've seen it in my professional life as well. Plan, do, inspect, adapt is really important for continual learning, because this is, you know, nothing but Deming's, a modification of Deming's view of continual learning and continual improvement. What do business leaders really want? To begin with, well, I guess I missed the point, but to begin with, what they really look forward to is, like, business leaders want to retain and increase margins. If I sell something for $10 and I'm making $5 day after day, I want to retain those margins. And I even want to increase it because that's profit for the organization. Also, they want to protect brand loyalty. And you may think that when you look at companies like Google and companies like that, I mean, that's what they're all about, is how do we help organization expand their brand loyalty? They want to attract and retain resilient leaders like you guys, like me. For the people who are going to be listening to this podcast, that's what they're after. They also want people who practice agility, because they've come to the realization that doing things in the old way and in the waterfall practice, it just doesn't work anymore in the way our world is right now globally. And most importantly, they want to manage risk. And that's really important. But when you think about it, resilient leaders are the ones who create value. So they practice agility. They help to retain and increase margins. They protect and really expand brand loyalty. And they help us to manage risk by going through the different tenets of lean thinking and agility. This is what resilient leaders do. I mean, this is where we should all have some level of aspiration to get to. There's this guy named Clayton Christensen, and he always talks about job to be done. What job were we hired to get done? Or what job will you hire to do your laundry or clean your house? And I always thought it was a very interesting concept. So it's the same thing with leaders. Leaders are hired to get a specific job done, and the organization go out and look for people who are either practice agility, who are actually resilient in the way they approach things, and help them to achieve their goals of increasing margins. But really important, I think that as leaders, and even if you're aspiring and you don't call yourself a leader, this is where we take that opportunity to create a space for emergent leaders to grow and expand. And I mean, this is something that we have a great opportunity when someone said, Alan, step in here and lead our quality initiatives. Or Ellen steps up and said, you know, I see an opportunity to lead our quality initiatives, so I'm going after that. She may create that space for other people in her organization, which I think they would appreciate tremendously. Clarity. You ever work for someone who provides clarity for the type of work that you're doing? And you appreciate that so much because normally things are not really that clear. Do you guys have any examples of that you would like to share? Come on, Alan.
One of my favorites is the one where people say, oh, do this as best it can be done. What does that even mean?
I have no idea. I mean, what does that mean? I could.
Yeah. What the best thing can be done is, because the low expectations is the reason why they have that. I mean, their expectations are here, or it's what they're capable of. I don't know. It's kind of calling themselves out and saying, well, I can only do this. Well, how far can you take it?
Yeah.
And then that's just got them up.
I mean, it's really interesting stuff, but, you know, have you worked with someone that brought clarity into the work that you're doing? A leader that is, this way is Norton, everyone follows because they understand the clear path of getting there, as opposed to like, well, what do you think he meant by that? Or what do you think she meant by that? And removing constraints. This is one of the big factors that we think about as we start to step into this leadership opportunity in our jobs, even with our families, and even in our communities, that we start to provide clarity, we start to remove constraints, we start to create a space where people could really flourish and begin to take off in what they're doing. We created a mapping between some of the lean thinking tenets and agility. As I think about it, that value is one aspect that people look at, but also respect. And so the synergies that I saw between these two tenets of value and respect is that value is the money ball. This is the thing, whether it's whatever currency you use to really define value, to me, that's what a lot of people are looking for. And I think when we have respect for our customers, organization, and self, it really helps us to deliver that money ball called value. Also, in terms of the value stream and transparency, and some people would look at me kind of like, why would you think that value stream is a tenant where it's more of a practice? But value stream to me is the concept of where you are taking everything from beginning to end, the optimal steps to make sure that you're delivering that value to everyone. Between that and transparency, so value streams are visible to everyone who's really interested in the steps to deliver value, whatever those steps are. I look at flow and inspect as also another pairing where we think of frequent inspection and really making sure that the right things are built at the right time. You're not out there working on those skunk projects, and if you're a software developer, you know what I'm talking about. We all sometimes go down that path and do things that no value to customer. I mean, one of the key elements of lean thinking is eliminate waste. And to me, a pairing in the agile spaces is to adapt. You know, we know waste is a common thing that will always be around. We need to adapt and remove all of the unneeded steps that are not really. If it's not needed, do one less thing, is what I say. Pull and commitment is another great pairing where commit only to the requested job by customers and really the market opportunities that are presented to you. You don't do more than you really need to. Otherwise, to me, that's just producing waste, you know, within the organization. We look at continual improvements and empiricism, where we're constantly measuring our level of progress. And some people may say, no, we don't want to measure progress. But I said, yes, we should measure progress. We should understand where we are. I mean, we do it from the time we were kids. How tall are you? How old are you? All right, we're always asking those questions. So we should do the same thing in the progress of work that we do, in how much we learn, and the value creation that we provide. And I think the most critical and really important one is courage, right? The courage to change and the courage to collaborate and win. And I don't know how many people hate winning. Anyone in here hate winning? No, I think everyone is shaking their head. Yes, I want to win. I like winning. I don't like winning at any cost, but I like to win. I think it's a really healthy thing for your teams to have that emotional feeling that, you know, they're winning. I have two teams right now, and for a while they were struggling trying to meet their commitments. We went through and made some minor adjustments, and guess what? They're meeting their commitments, so they're winning. To them, that's winning, and they're happy. You watch them walking around, high-fiving each other, smiles on their faces. A couple of months ago, that wasn't the case. Asking them to look at these type of principles and think about this, it has helped them to change the way they approach their work and also how they just approach their day. So key elements to think about as a leader and things that really help to shape who you are as a person. And for me, this is one thing that I use as a backdrop for my daily life. Now, how am I adding value? Am I really respecting others? Am I really doing the optimal steps that make sense? Am I being transparent? Right? I mean, am I inspecting and really only working on the things that really make sense for that moment in time? So all of these things you could apply to the way you do your work and life and how even you carry out your life. My wife gets freaked out about this because I have a Kanban board in my house, and that kind of drives everything that I do. And she says, I'm not putting anything in the board. And I tell her, if it's not in the board, it doesn't exist. And so you can imagine how that works out, right? It's very interesting. So any thoughts or about the pairing between lean thinking and agility tenets? Any thoughts in the pairing? Anything that seems odd to you? So what is your name?
Yeah, I'm Louis.
Hey, Louis.
And the value and respect.
Uh-huh.
So you said odd.
Yes.
It seems an odd pairing to me as to what the value, the respect and value. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm not, maybe it's Thursday or something, but.
Maybe because it's Thursday?
Yeah. Am I missing it, or how did you come up with the value and respect as a pair?
I think value is something that we give to people. That's right. One aspect of it. And respect is another thing that we give to people. When I think about it, is that our behavior of being respectful of ourselves and our customers and our organization is one element and one way that we add value back to the organization. Because if you start there, then it's really possible for you to pair with people, to collaborate, to help to produce that value. So that was my thinking. What about anyone else have any thoughts about that in terms of any pairing that may seem odd to you or questions? Okay, let's keep moving along. Where we're going. So I came up with these leadership dispositions about patterns that we have as individuals. And so a disposition is really a tendency to act or think in a certain way. I came up with someone being a non-starter and non-finisher, and a quick starter and finisher, and a resilient starter and finisher. These things, these patterns, in my opinion and my experience, is just based on things that happen over time, experiences that we have. Sometimes it's just personal characteristics. I mean, I have them, and I am a non-starter and finisher at times. It's just, that's sometimes what happens. Sometimes I'm a quick starter and finisher. I never get to the finish line. And at times, you know, this is my great aspiration to be a resilient starter and finisher. Sometimes I'm not always there, but it's something that I aspire to be. You could look at this as being an asset, or it could either be a disadvantage to the organization. I mean, it would be awful that if you're a non-starter all the time. You know, I mean, could you imagine that, being in that mindset, or you know that person that you work with is a quick starter and finisher, and they kind of start things and never get it done, and you sit there and go like, man, geez. Start finishing and stop starting. We go back to these old Scrum principles. And so you could start leaning against some of those type of tenets to look at these experiences that people may demonstrate. It's not permanent. I think that as we go through our leadership transformation, some days we're going to be knocking it out of the park. We're resilient. We're getting things done. And other days, it's just not going to happen. It's human nature. But I do say that if we practice some of our lean thinking and agility tenets, this will help to smooth out that ebb and flow that we deal with in terms of being able to add value to the organization in a consistent way. And so that's just my view and my experience of what has happened in my life and other people that I have talked to about this and have taught lean and agile thinking type principles to help them to do better work in their organization, or to even help the kids that I work with so that they may improve in their lives. These are some of the attributes. So when I think of a resilient starter and finisher, and normally I present all three, but today I figured since I had less time, I will only present the end stage, which is to be a resilient starter and finisher, there's some aspiration that you have based on a vision to get things done in spite of the challenges that you're going to run into. There's one great thing about this type of leadership characteristic is that, yeah, you hold yourself and others accountable to make sure that, you know, whatever work that we have to get done, that you can say, hey, you and I are working as a team, we have to pair up and get this stuff done. We made this commitment. Let's get it done. We have to have a focus on a purpose so that we know exactly where we're going. We know that when we work together as a team, there's going to be adversities. That's just human nature. How do we handle that and not walk away pouting or withdrawing? I mean, because we do that. I mean, every human being does that. How do you get to that state where you could have the mental fortitude, really just not really get into that space where you're withdrawing from what's going on, right? You're dealing with the adversity head on. You're aligned with whatever goals that we have established to get done. And when I talk about able to change, you know, this is one of the key elements that we look at as part of inspect and adapt. A lot of these attributes tie back to some of those tenets in terms of leading, being a visionary, being persistent in getting things done, having the level of courage. When you fail, cool, we learn from that. And there could be many other more attributes. But these are some of the attributes that I think that a resilient starter and finisher have, and which enables those individuals to really just take off and really be a big differentiator in the organization. I mean, sometimes you find individuals that you run into at work or even in your community who are just making such a difference. You go like, man, how is she doing that? You know, how is he doing that? Do you guys want to share with anyone that you know this way, your experience? You guys mind dipping in and giving a little of yourself in terms of sharing back? I see Ellen with a smile. Oh, no, she's like, no, not me. Ellen, anyone else? And it's okay if you're not there. Did you raise your hand?
No.
No? Okay. And that's okay, too. But the thing is, if you meet someone like this, and I'm sure you guys have met someone like this in your life, these individuals will make a great difference to who you are and the things that you accomplish. So good, we agree on that. In that journey to become a resilient leader, and also to become a resilient starter and finisher, you know, there's a few questions that you may want to think about. So this may get a little bit academic, right, in terms of the type of questions that you may ask. So you may say, well, let's look at circular questions. What risk am I open to accept, and how do I work with others to learn from failures? It could be reciprocal if-then questions. And it says, if my approach is inclusive of opinions from the team, then would ownership be shared? And then you can look at hypothesis testing and ask what-if questions. What if we could be more proactive to identify critical issues before they derail organizational goals? You know, how would that change our readiness and response? You could craft your own questions as you are going toward your transformation and attempting to becoming, you know, that resilient starter and finisher and leader. You know, you start to ask yourself these type of questions. And how do I get better? How do I contribute more in a very positive way? Or maybe how do I contribute less to create space for others to step in and do more and give them that opportunity? So you can start asking yourself these type of questions. And through the book itself, it kind of walks you through a few examples and a pathway of how you get there in terms of using Kanban and building a team of trusted advisors and really being really intentional about going through that progression and becoming better. In order to get there, I believe we need to do plan, do, inspect, adapt. So we have to plan the transformation. It's not going to happen on its own, obviously. We have to do the activities. Whatever activities that is, you set up a Kanban board and you build up your trusted advisors and you said, well, what are the things that I need to work on as an individual to become that resilient starter so I could be a visionary, so that I could handle adversities, so that I may lead, so that I may create space for others so that they may lead. And so those are the activities that you may want to start to outline with a timeline, exactly how long, how often will I do this? How frequently do I meet with my trusted advisors to get there? We want to look at the outcomes and figure out, like, am I progressing? Am I not doing anything? Because that could happen. You could just procrastinate And you have this wonderful Kanban board on your wall. You have all of these stickies in the to-do column that they never make it over to doing. That happens. You want to really inspect on that. And if you're in that position, then you want to adapt. And adapt with continual improvement as a backdrop in your mind. So there's a series of validators, things that you want to look at as you're going through this process. So these three questions, when I run my summer program with the students, I ask them this every day. When they come to our program, we said, what do you want to learn today? And we ask them, what did you learn today? And then how will you use this new knowledge to change your life? Every Saturday for 5 Saturdays, I ask them this question, and this is baked in. And so they will run up to me sometimes, and these are high school students. They said, well, you know, I want to learn this today. We gave them that space, and we use professionals like you, and we teach you our curriculum, which is not more than Scrum and a little bit of Kanban. And this year we taught them how to build websites with WordPress. And so we give them that permission, that space to ask this question. You know, I want to learn this today. And so that makes a huge difference for them in terms of taking ownership of their lives. But the same thing applies to us. When we start asking these questions, the same thing applies to the permission that we give ourselves to get better, to improve. I mean, any other validators that you would add to that list? Things that you would want to ask yourself in terms as you're going through this plan, do, inspect, adapt, learning opportunity? Okay, go ahead.
This is Louis. Why would you want to learn?
Would you want to learn? Yeah.
Yeah, why would you want to learn this? Whatever it is. Before, what do I want to learn today? Why do I want to learn? Or why do I want to learn?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, have you guys ever read the book by Simon Sinek, Start With Why? Yeah, so, that's a very good question. Why? You know, why would I want to learn anything new? Or why do I want to learn this specific topic today? I think that's really excellent. You want to contribute?
Was I right to want to learn that at the end of the day?
Well, I'm doing a podcast, so you could tell your name if you want.
My name's Doug. I guess one question you could ask yourself at the end of the day was I right to want to learn that in the first place?
Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, to be able to ask yourself those type of questions, I think those are really valid and really important. And so I said, as you go through this progression, to this process, you know, it's important for us to be intentional about what we're trying to get done. Focus on the prize. And if the prize is for you to become a resilient starter and finisher and leader, then focus on that. I think that sometimes we think too small about who we are as individuals. Think big. And think about, how do we sustain this transformation that I want to go through? It's like I go through this every year and I laugh about it because I want to lose weight and I start doing my thing. And about 3 months later, poof, and I think it's a common thing that most human beings go to, but it's one of those things that we have to constantly think about, how do we sustain that transformation? I really believe that we should monitor our progress in what we do. Otherwise, we're just floating around, not really sure where we're going, not sure where we were, not sure how we're moving along in whatever walk of life that we're doing at that point in time. I think it's very important to do that. Hey, share with others. I mean, why not kick up a blog and say, hey, I'm going through a transformation and I want to change, and ask others to contribute. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? You know, maybe not. It depends on what people add to your blog. Some people want to spoof. Alan, you want to say something about that?
The thought I had on that is that you really haven't learned anything or transformed yourself in any way unless you've told it to others.
Yeah. Okay. And that's cool. I mean, I like that.
Look for the Knowledge Share with Dr. Day podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. The Knowledge Share with Dr. Day podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare. This podcast and interview produced by Dr. Dave Cornelius. Copyright 2016 KnowledgeShare.
You rock share?
I grok it and KnowledgeShare. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness. share, and learn.